Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan. I serve as a teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're going to be focusing in on Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, as we kind of recap some of the things we talked about at Life Point Worthington this week. So I'm going to read this passage, I'll pray, and then we'll get started looking at this. Philippians 2, starting verse 12, says this: "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Let's take a moment and ask God to help us as we understand this passage. Father, wherever we're at, during the day, whether it's early in the morning, late in the evening, or in the middle of the afternoon taking a break, Lord, we pray that you would break into our lives, that you would awaken our senses to your presence with us as we study your word, that you would help us to understand what it means, not so that we would be hearers only, but doers of your word, that we would take what you have recorded for us, that we would embed it deep within our hearts, and that it would profoundly change the way we think and engage in the world around us. And so, Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit into this moment. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2. 12 and 13. I think this is an incredible passage for us to study. In fact, as I was writing this message, I was supposed to teach from verse 12 all the way through verse 19, and I just could not get out of these first two verses because there's something so compelling about the way that Paul writes this. Something that almost at the beginning, it sticks out in a way that it initially doesn't sound quite right. And it just invites us to linger here to understand more of what Paul's trying to get across. Notice this in verse 12, particularly that bit right at the end. "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence," here it is, "work out your own salvation." And that phrase has kind of stuck out to me. Maybe that is something that sticks out to you as you read this passage. Work out your own salvation. Because initially, it makes it sound like Paul is saying there is something that we need to do in order to accomplish our salvation. In fact, that's what that word "work out" means in the original language. It means to accomplish or achieve something. Right? But that is odd, because this is the same Paul who elsewhere will say, "For it is by grace you have been saved," right? This not of your own doing, but as a result of faith, right? This is not something that we accomplish. That's what he's talked about in Ephesians chapter 2. So what is going on here? Well, I think it's worth pausing to step back for a moment and ask a very simple question. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? And I think what we'll find, especially those of us who've been around the church world for a while, is that we do have a very specific answer, even if we've never really stopped to articulate what that means before. We have a very specific answer, and it fits into a broader story of how we think the Christian life works, that we may not have ever said it directly this way, but this is generally how we think of the Christian story, that at one point in your life, you are saved when you put your faith in Jesus. You may remember that moment or not, right? It may have happened when you were a kid. It may have happened when you were in your late 20s or late 60s. But at some moment, you put your faith in Jesus. And what that secures for you is that in the end, you get to go to heaven when you die. Right? More broadly, we might say it this way, that for all people, after death, there is an eternity in one of either two places, either heaven or hell. To be saved, then, we typically think means we are saved from an eternity in hell, where we instead get to spend an eternity in heaven. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that version of the story. But I think we would find, as we read through the rest of the New Testament, that it's incomplete at best. See, what tends to happen is we make salvation primarily about a past event, when it happened, that has a future impact, what we look forward to in eternity. But it doesn't necessarily offer very much about that whole living life business that takes place in the middle, how we go about and live now. And yet, I think what we find in the New Testament is that salvation as an idea, the way that it's talked about, is broader than just a single moment in time in the past and in the future. In fact, if you look at the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, what you will find is that the Greek word for salvation, the word sozo, as a verb, is used in every tense of the Greek language. So there is a very real sense in which we have been saved, are being saved now, and will be saved in the future. The New Testament uses it in every tense, right, to give us a much more holistic picture that says salvation is not just about something that happened way back then for a result that will happen eventually in the future, but it has very much to do with how we live here and now. And this is what Paul is trying to talk about here in verse 12. When he says, work out your own salvation, he is not talking about the moment in which God miraculously intervenes in your life and by faith in Jesus, you are plucked from the trajectory of your life, right? He's not so much talking about that specific moment. He's talking about the day by day patterns that mark you as somebody who has entered into the kingdom of God, who has entered in the new life that Jesus offers. And so when he says, work out your salvation, he's not saying your status before God depends on what you do. He is saying that how you live now is intricately tied to that moment in time when God intervened in your life. How you live is tied to that. And as he writes this, he has that phrase right at the end, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he includes that not because we're afraid of God, but because he's trying to articulate the gravity of what it means to live intentionally now in following Jesus. Sometimes we don't always think about the intentionality that we are supposed to have in our own pursuit of Jesus. Right, but Paul is articulating here that we bring a level of resolve, an unwavering resolve, as we follow Jesus. And yet this is not something we do by ourselves. Keep reading verse 13. Right? You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, the source, the motivation for why we work out our salvation, why we live here and now Christianly, is God himself, who is at work both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What that's trying to get across is that being connected to God himself has a profound impact, not just on what we do, but why we do it. It changes our will. We said it this way at LifePoint Worthington, that the gospel invites us into a relationship with God that reshapes, reforms, and reorders our desires so that they are in line with what God wants. What we want becomes the thing that is ultimately what he wants. And so as we work out our own salvation, this is not something we do in our own power. It's a reflection of God's work in us. Now, I think the question is, how do we go about doing this? How do we go about working out our salvation with fear and trembling? Well, we spent much more time in the message on this, but I would say this. The primary way we go about working out our salvation with fear and trembling is by availing ourselves each day to the work of grace available to us in the gospel. What that means is we are finding moments where we remind ourselves of our intricate connection back to the Father. we remind ourselves that we are like, in some ways, those devices we all carry along with us in our pockets. Those things that you may be listening to this very podcast on right now, that phone, that is necessarily a dependent device. It is dependent on being connected to a power source. Without it, your phone is a paperweight. In the same way, when we find ourselves disconnected from the Father, we are unable to do the very thing that we have been created to do. We are dependent on a regular connection to the source. Here's the question for you. How are you today arranging your life so that you are regularly coming back to be charged up by the Holy Spirit? I hear so often in conversations that I wish I just had more time to spend time in a devotion or make more time for quiet time during the day. It's spotty, and I understand the regular challenges of life. But I also think we need a moment of honesty and just recognize that we make time for the things that we deem necessary. Friends, our connection to the Father through the spiritual disciplines, through coming to the Word and in prayer, is vital as we seek to grow, as we seek to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, let's take a moment. We'll pray and ask the Lord to help us in this. And I'm going to share a few prayer points. You may want to press pause and continue praying as I move through these fairly quickly. Heavenly Father, we pause now and we ask for your help. We ask that you would show us those times and places where we need to better avail ourselves to your work, where we need to pause and listen to your voice, where we need to recharge. God, I think of times when I have used busyness as an excuse to not spend time with you. God, we pray that you would help us to see where we can take active steps to build in time to be connected to our source in you. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.